Appreciate to see each of you here this morning. Those who are visiting with us, we're just delighted that you have made it our way, and we trust that you'll come back again and visit with us when you can. In the text that Justin read from the second chapter of Genesis, verses 18 through 24, those of us who are familiar with the Bible recognize that this is where God instituted the family relationship, where the first marriage was conducted actually when God brought Eve to Adam. And, when the first family unit, the first marriage, the first family was instituted by God, it was in order to, if you look back in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis and in verse 28, it was in order to multiply and replenish the earth. This is, of course, the means of procreation, the family unit. And when we get into the New Testament, there are certain things that are said in the New Testament about this relationship of marriage. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it reminds us that marriage is honorable among all. We have marriage is honorable underscored, just to draw your attention to it. Furthermore, he says, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now, I want us to just stop a moment and look at that. When the passage says that marriage is honorable, let me say at the very outset of our study this morning, that does not mean that the antithesis or the reverse of this is deplorable, because it is not. Being unmarried, not being married, is not dishonorable. It is not bad, it is not sinful, nor is it even unfortunate. And this is what I want us to talk about this morning. I want to talk about being single. And I want to talk about those who are, for whatever reason, living as singles. You know, I tell you what, many times when we study on the home, and many times I preach on the home, and we have various Bible studies here, one is even underway at the present time, that deals with the family unit, deals with home and marriage and child raising. I believe these are important studies, and I don't believe that these ought to ever be neglected. But neither do I think it is appropriate for us to leave the impression, and I think sometimes that might be the case, leaving the impression that being single is shameful or is disgraceful, because it is not shameful, nor is it disgraceful. You know, there are a lot of singles who are striving to serve the Lord, and they're single for a lot of reasons. There are a lot of college students who are striving to serve the Lord. They may be in graduate school, they may be in medical school, but for whatever reason, they have not yet decided to marry. There are young professionals who are establishing a career, male and female, who are faithful to the Lord, who have decided, it's not time for me to get married. Then there are those who have undergone, against their wishes perhaps, or because they put away an adulterous mate, there are people who are striving to serve the Lord single again, having been divorced. And there are those who, as they grow older and lose a mate, are striving to serve the Lord as a widow or a widower, and they're single. And then there are those who are just simply unattached. There's just someone who has not found that particular person that they want to spend the rest of their lives with. And regardless of why a person is single, regardless of why one is unmarried, whether it's to pursue education or a career, or they've lost a mate to divorce or death, the struggles are the same. And the things that they're putting up with are indeed the same. And this is what I want us to talk about. I want to talk about being single, because I want us to just, if we can for the next few moments, just remove the stigma that sometimes we inadvertently associate with being single, because, as I said a moment ago, being single is not wrong, it is not sinful. Now, according to our text, according to that passage back in Genesis chapter 2, being married is, that's what we would look at as the usual, or that is the common among us. We understand that. That's just sort of the standard fare, as it were. But as Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 27, there are certain circumstances where, in his words to a man, do not seek a wife. And so when we look at passages like that, we have to understand that the unmarried Christian is not a second-class citizen in the church. It's not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of heaven. And I think sometimes we inadvertently maybe suggest that. And that may, you know, it's not our intention. You know, we may leave the impression that if you're striving to serve the Lord as a single, that you're incomplete. That's not so. It's not something that you necessarily just have to go out and do. And that is, get married. You know, sometimes parents of unmarried children leave the impression, you know what? Well, when you gonna get hitched? When you gonna give me some grandkids? Haven't you found anybody to suit you? You know, these are little subtleties that we throw that way that tend to cause some angst. You know, we may rudely kind of toss around certain... What are you going... You're just going to be an old maid? You're going to be an old bachelor all your life? You know, these ladies and gentlemen, I believe, are unnecessarily hurtful. And they're things that we ought to avoid using. Because I'm going to tell you something. You look in the New Testament, and you're going to find various ones who were single. You can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or whether you want to talk about the Apostle Paul, or the sisters Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. These are, as far as the record goes, these were all unmarried people. Timothy and Silas and Barnabas and Lydia. And in the Old Testament, you have Elijah and Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Nehemiah, among others. And again, I don't mean to place the Lord Jesus necessarily in that category other than the fact that He was unmarried. But all of these were able to serve God acceptably, and they were great in being productive for God even though they were not married. Now I recognize that there are certain works that God has given to those in the church that require marriage. I understand that. I understand that an elder has to be married, has to have a believing wife and believing children. I recognize that deacons are also to be married men. There isn't any question about that with their wives and the wives of elders also meeting certain qualifications. I understand that. But not everybody has to be married to be a faithful Christian. You know, as a matter of fact, let me tell you something. Preachers don't have to be married. And I know that a lot of churches don't understand this. They will not even talk to a man about moving there and preaching with him unless he's a married man. Well, they're making a requirement out of that man that God hadn't made. They're placing an obstacle that God has not placed. Because you see, other than those that I just mentioned a moment ago, one can be a single Christian and be faithful to God and be very productive. Now, don't misunderstand. It's like I already said. Marriage is the typical. We understand that. Marriage is the norm. It's that which is customary. Jesus in Matthew 19, in quoting from the passage that Justin read back in Genesis 2, pointed out that what God has joined together, let not man separate. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 that a woman is going to be saved by childbearing. And that is remaining within the confines of what God has placed her in. I understand that. I understand also what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, that he would that the younger widows marry, bear children, and manage the house. I understand that. Those things are what we refer to as customary or typical. But on the other hand, there are those who have chosen for whatever reason to remain single. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 12 speaks of those who became eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. That is, these people are going to live single and celibate all their lives. And you know what? They can do that and still be faithful to the Lord. And as a matter of fact, even in various circumstances, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 26, Paul said, I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that is good for a man to remain as he is. And in the context of that is single. So let me say to single Christians, hey, you're not in some sort of spiritual halfway house. That's not at all what being single is. And as a matter of fact, you're not in any spiritual halfway house any more than these were. And these were great in their being productive for God. But I'm going to tell you, when we consider being single, we have to also recognize that there are some problems, some unique problems associated with being single and serving the Lord. And there's some unique challenges, I suppose, that we could say about these that the single must cope with. Now let's talk about some of these. Some of these struggles that are challenges that the single Christian is going to have to cope with. Number one is, I believe, a feeling of maybe insecurity or even resentment because of the situation. You know, like girls being unasked or boys being unanswered may produce a feeling of, why am I different? Why do I have to be different in this? You know, and it may just create some resentment on the part of some. Maybe those who are single again, the widows or the widowers, may begin to feel just a little bit anxious. You know, I'm just like the fifth wheel. I'm just sort of in the way, you know. And there may be some angst there. And this is why I believe the Bible says in James 1 and verse 27, that we are to be concerned and visit with the fatherless or the orphans and the widows in their trouble. They have their special troubles, you see. And so, they, you know, there's some problems associated with that. They may, if they're overlooked, may begin to sour on life and, you know, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? And as a result of that, they may just have a hard time adjusting. Or it may be those who are divorced. Maybe something happened and the marriage fell apart. Maybe they had to put away a guilty spouse because of adultery. And these also have their special problems associated with resentment, you know. Well, why did God let this happen to me? They may sour maybe it's a woman who's been, had to put away a guilty husband and she may begin to feel, you know, all men are like that. Or a man puts away a guilty wife, well, he may begin to resent all women as being that way. Well, there's the danger of just resenting those who are married, those who are still married and happily married. Don't focus on what you don't have. It makes it hard. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and in verse 24, brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. You know what Paul is saying? He said, hey, if you're a single, you just focus on serving God. Don't look at what you don't have or what you did have. I'll tell you another problem associated with that may be the tendency to become self-centered. That is, you've never had to rely upon anybody or you've never had to yield to the wishes of another person. And so, you know, sometimes we call that just kind of being set in your ways. And that's a problem. And sometimes that even finds its way into the church. It finds its way into the workforce. It finds its way into every relationship. Well, that's a problem that you have to be concerned about. Not demanding necessarily your own way. But there's also the problem of remaining celibate and pure if you are an unmarried Christian. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Now, he goes on to point out down in verses 8 and 9 of that same chapter, but to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am, if you remain single. It's good. But now, he said in verse 9, if they cannot exercise self-control, He said, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I recognize unmarried Christians have a unique problem. The society in which we live is saturated with images dealing with sex and gratification of lustful desires. And this poses a big problem. And so while it's okay to serve the Lord as a single, there's this unique problem associated with it, as well as the problem of battling with loneliness. Genesis 2 and verse 18, not good for a man to be alone. Loneliness is something that can erode the human spirit. I recognize that. God did. That's why He created a woman and brought her to Adam. Loneliness begins to set in if we're single. Sometimes we just got the four walls. We're sitting and looking at, or we're in a lonely house or a lonely apartment and we're eating by ourselves and there's no one to talk to. And so loneliness begins to overwhelm us, and this is a danger. Because if we're not careful, we're just gonna marry the first one that comes along, and that may put us in a situation that's even worse than what we were in. I like to tell people there's more problems, and really I think even greater problems than loneliness, and that is being married to someone who is a hindrance to you. And there are a lot of lonely married people for that matter. But this is a unique situation. There's a unique problem that the unmarried Christian faces. Well, are there some solutions? Yes, I believe there are some solutions to this. I believe there's some things that can be done to kind of help eradicate those problems and to help you in your striving to serve the Lord as a single Christian. The things that you can do, and we just call that being proactive. And some of them are basic. I would say that the best thing that you can do if you find yourself in this position is to begin to develop a deep sense of spirituality. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7 and in verse 32, he said, the unmarried cares about the married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. But he said in verse 32, the unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. Now that is a challenge for the unmarried. Hey, listen, you're not encumbered about with some of the things that the married are cumbered with. And so you know what? You have a unique situation where you can devote yourself to your relationship with the Lord. You can focus upon that. You can run that race that is set before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Ever looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So focus upon that. Be as James said in James chapter 4 and verse 8, be someone who draws near to God, and He will draw near to you. I say to the Christian single, hey, you know what? Fill the lonely house and the lonely hours and the lonely heart with Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Hey, develop a deep sense of spirituality. Read your Bible. Draw near to the Lord. Make your Christianity come alive in Christ. You know, as Paul reminded Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, he said, you know, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Hey, get into the Bible. Renew your determination to grow spiritually and develop a deep sense of spirituality. And secondly, I would suggest that maybe it would be time to develop some strong devotional habits. Do some things that will help strengthen you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 that some need to give themselves to prayer and fasting. Don't spend all of your time with the television. Don't spend all of your time listening to music or playing video games. Have a regular and consistent period of devotion with the Lord. You know, make that a habit. You know, I look at I look back at Daniel. You know, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, you know, Daniel was a single man, striving to serve God. But you know what Daniel did? Daniel had a custom. It was his custom every day at a certain time that he would pray to God. That was his custom. That was his habit. Jesus also, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue and read the Scriptures. Paul, you know, we talked about Paul being one of these singles, you know, that served the Lord. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 2, as was his custom, he opened and studied the Bible with people. That was his custom. That was his habit. And so you see, what you have here is an example or some examples of some developing some strong devotional habits. Make it a habit. Make it your custom. And then I tell you something else along this line. I would advise you to invest yourself in being thoughtful to others. You know, when you read in the Bible certain passages such as 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 where he talks about being hospitable, he isn't just saying that to those who are married or have a half a dozen kids. He's saying that to all Christians. So I would advise people who maybe live by themselves, don't withdraw into a cocoon. Develop a warm relationship with others. Be hospitable. As Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, love one another fervently. You know, not just those of your own age group, whether you're a widow or a widower, or you're a college student who is single, you know, reach out. Reach out and be hospitable to others. And show that you can make this part of your existence. You know, I look at these first two or three rows right here and all of these young kids here. And I got to tell you something. There are those maybe who are married with children of their own and their jobs and so forth. They can't really reach out to these. But maybe some of the singles can. And they would cherish this relationship. And so, just be hospitable. I'll tell you also, I would advise you to seek out godly wisdom and advice from others who have that wisdom and that advice to give. You know, here's the thing about this, that the single may think that he or she has to handle everything all by him or herself. That's not so. You're not put in a situation where you're just isolated and you have no one to reach out to. That's just not the way it is. You know, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fail. And so you've got the single at home, no wife or no husband, and no one to talk matters over with. But I tell you what, you can't maybe seek the advice of a wife or you can't seek the advice of a husband, but I tell you why. There are others that you can seek the advice and counsel from, whether it's those who are older, those who are aged, those who are elders, or those who just have a deep sense of understanding of what God reveals. So I would say, you know, don't face every battle by yourself. Reach out to others and let them help you face those battles. And then finally, I would say to you, eliminate at all costs sexual stimuli. Eliminate it. This is crucial if one is to remain celibate and pure. You know, there's a passage found in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 7. And in the New American Standard Bible, it's translated that you will not arouse or awaken my love. Now, he's talking about a sexual stimuli there, or what we refer to on the board here as a sexual start. And he recognized that there are certain things that can awaken these desires. He said, you know what? Not going to happen. So, singles who are striving to live pure and celibate and godly must not allow him or herself to engage in these sexual starters, these sexual stimuli. I tell you what, don't spend time fantasizing. Do not spend your time daydreaming or living in a cheap sex novel or in sex movies. Do not do that. Stay away from these at all costs. Now, that's good advice for everybody. But in the context here, what we're discussing, it is crucial for the single. I remind you again. Because of sexual immorality or fornication, let every man, or let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. So what you need to do is screen and avoid anything, and I mean anything, that will weaken your resolve to be celibate and pure. Now, you can't remain pure with impure thoughts, with impure places, or with impure people. You can't do it. So you have to avoid these at all costs. Now, I told you going in, there's some special challenges that single Christians have. No question about that. Now, there's special challenges that married Christians have. I understand that. And so we've tried to address some of these that single Christians are faced with. So I would say to those who are finding themselves serving God without a mate, for whatever reason, set your goal upon being a faithful Christian. Set your goal upon being faithful to Christ. Set your goal upon being productive for Christ. But I'm going to tell you, there are lots of things that you can and you should and you must be providing to the Lord. And I'll tell you, I'm going to go even a step farther. I believe that single Christians, regardless of who they are, and regardless of the reason that they find themselves single, I believe that they can be strong assets in every local church. I believe that. And I think sometimes we just fail to tap into those resources and those assets. And I think we should tap into them. Now, you're going to have your unique battles. I'm going to tell you something. You've got some unique challenges ahead of you, too. I mentioned these young people right here. I can guarantee you, maybe you're a single Christian, a college student, or out of college, or a young professional. I can guarantee you, you can probably have a greater influence on these kids than I have. You probably can relate to some of their trials and needs better than I can relate. And so while you have your particular challenges, you have some great assets. You have some great abilities. And so what you need to do is focus upon being the best you can be. Whatever state you were called in. If you're a married Christian, hey, you're valuable too. If you're an unmarried Christian, you're valuable to the cause of Christ. And I believe that young unmarried, older unmarried Christians even, for that matter, can rise to the occasion. Men, you can become a Paul or a Daniel. And women can rise to become a Martha or a Mary, sisters of Lazarus, and just be great products in the cause of God. If you're not a Christian today, whether you're married or unmarried, everybody comes to the Lord the exact same way. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, turn from them, abandon those sins, renounce them, get out of them. Turn your heart and your life to the Lord. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and be raised to walk in newness of life. And regardless of whether you're married, you're unmarried, you're old, you're young, male or female, you'll have all your sins washed away. Raised to walk in newness of life, being the kind of person that God created you and put you upon this earth to become. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come right now as together we stand as we sing. Have you been?